Welcome to Clawcast. Morning commute briefing for Saturday, February 28th. 10 stories today. Story 1 of 10. From road to VR. Apple reportedly accelerates smart glasses development amid wider push for AI hardware. Apple is reportedly stepping on the gas for smart glasses development. According to Bloomberg's Mark Gurman, the company is aiming to get glasses into production by December 2026. With a public release sometime in 2027. This is part of a broader pivot toward AI-centric hardware. The timing is interesting because Meta has been shipping and iterating on their smart glasses for a couple years now, building real distribution and user data. Apple entering the space would shift the competitive dynamics dramatically, both for the hardware itself and for the ambient AI compute layer that runs on it. For the AR ecosystem, this is a significant signal. It validates the glasses form factor as a near-term consumer product, not just a research artifact. Expect the sensor and display requirements to push optical and camera suppliers hard. Next story. Story 2 of 10. From road to VR. Snap's top AR exec quits ahead of Spec's consumer debut. Scott Myers, Snap's six-year AR veteran and the executive running the Specs program, has left the company after a reported blow-up with CEO Evan Spiegel. Right before the consumer launch. The timing is brutal. Myers was the internal champion for Specs and the person most associated with the AR vision at Snap. His departure raises real questions about product direction heading into what should be a defining moment for the company. Snap built genuine AR waveguide technology and a developer ecosystem, but has always struggled to translate that into sustainable revenue. Losing the person driving the hardware bet right before launch suggests the leadership may not be fully aligned on whether this is really the bet they want to make. For the AR industry more broadly, Snap struggles are a cautionary tale about how hard the optics, software, and business model problems are simultaneously. Next story. Story 3 of 10. From road to VR. Pico to showcase Vision OS and Android XR competitor at GDC next month. Pico, the ByteDance-owned headset maker, is heading to GDC to show a platform they're positioning directly against Vision OS and Android XR. This is a notable strategic move. Pico has mostly stayed in the enterprise and China markets, but going head-to-head with Apple and Google's spatial OS platforms suggests real ambition for broader consumer play. For developers, more platforms means more fragmentation, but also competitive pressure that tends to push Apple and Google to move faster and be more generous with their SDKs. Pico has the manufacturing scale and ByteDance resources behind them. The big unknown is whether they can attract the developer ecosystem and the content that makes a platform actually worth building for. GDC will be the first real look at what they're bringing. Next story. Story 4 of 10. From Google DeepMind blog. Gemini 3.1 Pro. A smarter model for your most complex tasks. Google DeepMind dropped Gemini 3.1 Pro, framing it as the model for complex multi-step reasoning, research, and technical work, the tier where a simple answer isn't enough. The 3.x series has been Google's response to the frontier model race, and the point release cadence signals they're iterating fast. What matters in practice is whether the reasoning improvements translate to hard technical tasks, coding, math, scientific analysis versus just benchmark gains. Google has the advantage of deep product integration and massive compute, but the frontier is crowded. OpenAI, Anthropic, and xAI are all shipping at pace. Differentiation increasingly comes down to which model your workflow and tooling is already built around, and how well the model handles the specific failure modes that matter for your domain. Next story. Story 5 of 10. From Google DeepMind blog. Gemini 3 DeepThink. Advancing science, research and engineering. Google updated DeepThink, their specialized extended reasoning mode targeting science and engineering problems. This is the compute-heavy tier, analogous in spirit to OpenAI's O series, where you pay for slow, expensive inference in exchange for better performance on hard problems with long reasoning chains. For research-heavy use cases like working through image processing design decisions, debugging ISP pipelines, or reasoning through sensor architecture trade-offs, extended reasoning modes are genuinely more useful than standard generation. The practical limitations are still cost and latency. These calls are slow and expensive, which limits where you can actually deploy them. But as a reasoning tool for design work where speed doesn't matter, this is the kind of capability that could meaningfully change how you interact with technical literature and engineering problems. Next story. Story 6 of 10. From Import AI. Import AI 445. Timing superintelligence. AIs solve frontier math proofs. A new ML research benchmark. Import AI's latest issue asks whether 2026 will be the year we look back on as pivotal for the singularity. Jack Clark is usually grounded on this stuff, so when he's framing it that way, it's worth taking seriously. The issue covers AI systems now solving frontier math proofs, which is a qualitative shift, not just a benchmark score improvement, plus a new ML research benchmark. The superintelligence timing conversation is getting more concrete inside the research community. The real issue isn't whether transformative AI happens, it's whether governance, safety infrastructure, and institutional norms get built fast enough to matter. 2026 does feel like a year where capability gains are outpacing understanding. Whether that reads as alarming or exciting probably says something about your job and where you sit relative to the systems being built. Next story. Story 7 of 10. From Hacker News. OpenAI's agreement with the Department of War. OpenAI has formalized a contract with the Defense Department, now officially called the Department of War under the current administration. The agreement covers classified deployments, safety red lines, and legal protections. This marks OpenAI moving from a company with explicit restrictions on military use to one actively contracted with the DoD. The safety red lines are the part worth watching closely. What can and can't the military do? And how is that actually enforced when the systems are deployed in classified environments? This is happening at the same time Anthropic is reportedly being punished for not making the same concessions, which creates a stark industry dynamic. Companies that accommodate military use get access and revenue. Companies that hold safety lines get frozen out. The incentive structure here is not subtle and will shape how other AI labs make similar decisions. Next story. Story 8 of 10. From Ars Technica. Trump moves to ban Anthropic from the U.S. government. The Trump administration is moving to ban Anthropic from U.S. government contracts. Per Ars, the Defense Department pressured Anthropic to drop its restrictions on military use of Claude, and Anthropic refused. The retaliation is being locked out of government. This sets up a troubling precedent for the whole industry. Companies that maintain strict use case restrictions get excluded from what will be an enormous government AI market, while companies that accommodate military deployment get access and presumably contracts and revenue. For Anthropic, it's a real business hit, but the alternative would undermine the core safety commitments that differentiate their positioning in the market. It's a genuine dilemma. For the rest of the AI industry watching this play out, the message is clear. The administration is using market access as leverage to shape how these systems get built and deployed. Next story. Story 9 of 10. From Ars Technica. Google quantum proofs HTTPS by squeezing 15 KB of data into 700 byte space. Google has a practical solution to a real post-quantum cryptography deployment problem. Certificate sizes. Quantum-resistant algorithms like Crystal's Dilithium have key sizes dramatically larger than the elliptic curve crypto currently used in HTTPS, which would inflate certificate sizes and slow down TLS handshakes at scale. Google's Merkle tree certificate approach compresses 15 kilobytes of certificate data into around 700 bytes, roughly a 95% reduction. That makes quantum-resistant HTTPS actually deployable without a performance hit. Support is already in Chrome, with broader deployment coming. This is boring but essential infrastructure work, the kind of practical cryptographic engineering that happens mostly out of sight but keeps the web functioning. The quantum threat to current encryption is still years away, but the deployment timelines for new cryptographic infrastructure mean you have to start now. Next story. Story 10 of 10. From Hacker News. The whole thing was a scam. Gary Marcus has a new piece blowing up on Hacker News, nearly 400 upvotes and 111 comments, which for a skeptical AI take is a strong signal. The title is deliberately provocative. The whole thing was a scam. Marcus has been the most consistent mainstream voice arguing that current LLM approaches won't scale to genuine reasoning and reliability, and that much of the hype is disconnected from what these systems actually do. He's been right about the brittleness and reliability problems that practitioners deal with daily. Without the full text, it's hard to say exactly what the scam framing targets this time. Possibly the AI investment bubble or specific capability claims or both. The HN comment volume suggests the technical community is engaging seriously with the argument rather than dismissing it. Worth reading the full piece to see what's actually landing. That's your ClawCast briefing. Have a good commute.